chest as he slowly slipped away. Before he took his final breath, I heard my daddy say, "It's true, I can hear the angels sing. It's true, heaven's bells are ringing. I can see the face of my Jesus. He's coming for me. It's true, I see loved ones who are waiting. It's true, the things of earth are fading. I'll be waiting on the other side for you. It's true, I know that there will come a day when death will call for me, and they will put my body in the ground. But that's not where I'll be. So when I have those fears and doubts about what lies ahead, I just think about my dear old dad and the last two words he said. I can hear the angels singing, it's true. Heaven's bells are ringing, I can see the face of my Jesus. He's coming for me. It's true, I see loved ones who are waiting. It's true, the things of earth are fading. I'll be waiting on the other side for you. I'll be waiting. Dad, I sure miss you. I can't wait to see you too. It's true. Thank you.
legendary names in Southern gospel music was a fellow named Eugene Bartley. And in 1939, he wrote his last song and passed away soon after. He had actually suffered a stroke before he wrote this great song. We used to sing this thing to death in the Nazarene Church, Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus. blessings that are ours in Christ, blessings of joy and mercy and peace, love and fellowship. And I thank you for this day that you've given us. Help us to continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to be instruments of your will, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. First of all, I thought I was going to have to apologize this morning to you, but then I thought, not to you, because you are faithful. I'm usually a very positive person. Occasionally a little negative thought creeps in, and this morning as I was driving in the rain, I thought, I wonder how many people who prayed for rain are going to stay home in bed and not come to church and thank God for it. Now, Tom Roberts assured me people could thank God for it in bed, but not the same. Not the same. But I should have known that you would not be one of those people that would stay home today. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us. And I'm glad you're here. Let's stand and greet one another in the name of the Lord.
I tell him his deal here was about to knock my ears off. I couldn't even hear John.
I can't even hear my people up here. And it's real loud up there. Well, I mean,
to trust him more.
Father, help us this morning to experience you in a personal way by turning our thoughts to you and giving you all the praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Luke chapter 5. Now, it happened that while the crowd was pressing around Jesus and listening to the Word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, and the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Father, I pray that you would teach us how to let down our nets. For I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you read my sermon in the Clean Daily Herald yesterday? Well, you're exempt from the sermon. It was supposed to be printed next Saturday after I preached that sermon today. Actually, I guess I could maybe do a quiz and find out how much you remember it. No, I won't do that. As you read yesterday, the story begins with the story of K.J. Choi, a Korean professional golfer, one of the top 10 professional golfers in the world. K.J. Choi is a Christian. Some time ago, he was invited to consider a part in a movie. K.J. Choi is an excellent golfer, very comfortable with the professional world of golf, but he's a little uneasy in the English-speaking world outside of golf. And yet the morning that he was to decide whether to accept the invitation, in his morning devotional that morning, he read the story I just read to you. He understood that God was asking Simon to step out of his comfort zone. And K.J. Choi took that as a message for him, for himself, to step outside of his comfort zone. And by the way, he got the part and did an excellent job in the movie, 7 Days in Utopia. The story of Simon, the fisherman, is a story for each of us. For it helps us to understand that God does, on occasion, ask us to stretch our paradigm, to step outside of our comfort zone. Jesus told Simon, "Row out in the deep, let down your net." And the result was a miraculous catch. The question for each of us is, what would happen if we let down our net? In order to do that, the first step that we have to agree to is to trust God. To trust Him. The wisdom writer said it this way, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart," that is your total being. "In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Do not lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight," or some translations say, "will direct your path." Trust God to give direction to your path. How far in the deep are you willing to go for God? Or you really prefer to kind of stay in your own cubicle of comfort? Trust God is the first thing. But then as I read this story, there's kind of an interesting concept. The first thing, or the second thing after trusting God, is to hear Jesus say, "Let down your nets." You know, I kind of visualize for Simon sitting there in the boat, and he's holding his boat perfectly still for Jesus to teach from. and sort of filled with himself about that, that, you know, the Master has chosen me. I'm special. Then Jesus turned to him and said, row out in the deep and let down your net for a catch. And I'm sure Simon thought, oh, just if I'd gone on my iPhone and that app for ordering a brand new net, you know, here I've been cleaning my net and it's still filled with weeds and debris and stuff. Jesus said, let down your net just as it is. Let down your net. There's a lot of interesting stories like that in the Scripture. One day do a word study or a name study on Shamgar. You got to look hard for Shamgar over in the book of Judges. He was one of the early judges, by the way. And one phrase that I read about Shamgar was that he killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad, whatever that is. I can just sort of imagine in the day in which the Philistines are pushing the Israelites out of their territory and Shamgar is working his field. And several of his friends come running by him and saying, the Philistines are coming. And he sort of bows his neck and says, how many? And they said, about 600. He said, that's just about enough. Just the way I read that one phrase in Scripture. What about Gideon? Gideon was a mighty warrior. And he had a huge army. And God said, we're going to pare it down to size. Interesting methodology. Go tell them to all take a drink. And the ones that were watchful while they were taking a drink, 300 or so of those became the army of Gideon. And then God said, I want you to go at night and I want you to surround the Midianites and I want you to have the men take only a pitcher with a candle inside of it and a trumpet. Line them up on the hillside. And when you give the order, break that pitcher so that the light shines and blow the trumpet. And the Midianites thought that there were thousands of soldiers and they fled. Those couple of guys just kind of let down their nets. God asked Moses one day, what's in your hand? He said, it's a staff, a rod, a stick. For a shepherd, it was a significant tool. God had to show him that even in the most important things to our lives, there is the potential of the serpent in it. But for the rest of Moses' story, that rod became the rod of God. He was willing to let down his net. What about you? What is your net? What net does God expect you to let down? The next thing that I've discovered, and just kind of changing the emphasis of that phrase, I think he said, let down your nets. Now, apparently Simon only let down one, but what is your net? The very first sermon I ever preached was on this text. And it was not an original sermon. There was a man named Roy Angel. Roy Angel, for a brief time, was pastor of the First Baptist Church of San Antonio, but for almost 40 years, he was pastor of the Central Baptist Church in Miami, Florida. I first heard the name of Roy Angel because I discovered that he had been the pastor who married my mother-in-law and father-in-law. But he wrote a series of books, really a compilation of his sermons. And the first of the sermons of Roy Angel's I read was about this story. And Roy Angel suggested in his book that there were at least three different kinds of nets that we could let down. The first he called a golden net. A golden net. You get the picture of that. There are some who have a resource, a financial resource, to be able to make extraordinary gifts to the kingdom. I remember the first time I thought about that, my wife's grandfather was a very wealthy man. And there was a missionary at church that appealed to a ministry in the San Blas Islands off the coast of Panama. And they were erecting a radio tower. And they were going to trying to raise money to get enough transistor devices to put in the hands of the natives in the islands. And the missionary said, if we could find enough different people to be able to raise $50,000, we could equip all of the natives with these instruments. And Kay's grandfather said, I'll pay for all of them. He let down a golden net, the ability to give. Romans 10 talks about the carrying of the gospel to the world. How shall they hear unless there's a preacher? And in this phrase, how shall they go unless they are sent? Today, we will have a fun time as a fellowship of faith. But the money that we spend on food and resources will go to send missionaries around the world. Let down golden nets. They may be large nets, they may be small nets, but golden nets. God wants us to learn the principle of sowing and reaping and to become what He calls cheerful givers. There is a person in our church who heard me several months ago tell the story of a man in another church who would occasionally just hand me cash and tell me, just distribute it wherever you see a need. I like giving away somebody else's money. And this person in our church heard me tell that story one day and so has continued that tradition of just giving me an envelope occasionally with cash. And it's amazing how the opportunities to distribute money comes our way. Let down a golden net, maybe. What about an intellectual net? I remember that when my wife's grandfather said, I will pay for all of those transistor radios, I remember Kay's brother said, who's going to buy the batteries for them? Just a wise thought, but a thought, a worthwhile thought. Letting down an intellectual net. David, when he was turning over the kingdom to his son Solomon, after the temple was constructed, he said to him, act according to your wisdom. Let down an intellectual net. And you remember that Solomon did that when two ladies came to him arguing over who was the mother of a child? He said, well, let's just cut the child in half. And the real mother said, no, don't do that. I'll surrender. And he knew that was the real mother. Letting down an intellectual net. You say, I'd love to be able to do that, but I'm not very wise, really. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously. Maybe yours is an intellectual net. But I think most of us probably fit in the third category. Work-worn nets. Nets that just do whatever it takes. Nets that hand out bulletins. Nets that teach Sunday school classes. Nets that Tao this morning stood out on the porch with an umbrella and met anybody who didn't have one. Opened the door. That's a work-worn net. That's a simple net. In the 17th chapter of Exodus, another interesting military concept. Battle going on in the valley. Israelites and the Midianites. They just couldn't seem to get along. And Moses stood up on the hillside, and the tradition, for some reason, was that when Moses held his hands up, the Israelites prevailed. But when his hands were lowered, the Midianites prevailed. I never have understood the theology of that. But this is the part of the story I like. Joshua and Hur came along and stood behind him and held his arms up for the duration of the battle. Just a simple little task. They weren't the main character. Moses was. But they held his arms up. You know, there's a group of people, much smaller than I would like for it to be, but a faithful group of people that every Tuesday morning at 6:30 come and literally hold the pastor's arms up in prayer. Now, I realize that there are others of you that pray for me throughout the week and pray for me in special opportunities and needs, but that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, a work-worn net, just a simple net to be lowered when the time comes. By the way, the story of K.J. Choi. Struggling with the English language. Cannot read much English, but agreed to try out for a role in a movie. You know how many lines he had to memorize? Zero. You know what role he fulfilled in the movie? Himself. Played himself a professional golfer. Don't be too worried about whether God's going to ask you to let down a net you don't have. He may just ask you to be yourself. Be yourself. What if you just let down a net today? Would you bow with me as we pray together? Father, I do thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for that you've equipped each of us with whatever gift, whatever net you expect us to let down. Help us keep it clean, prepared, but help us to be ready at your call. I love the phrase of Simon, nevertheless, in spite of my comfort, nevertheless, I will do whatever you say. May that be our commitment today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing this hymn of commitment. There's a public response. I'll meet you at the front. Go let your nets down today.
Just as I am without mercy, but rest thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Festival this afternoon at 3 o'clock. John? Oh, John's praying. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Excuse me. John, you got any goodies on the silent auction? Any umbrellas? No umbrellas?
Bring your own.
Bring your own. Paul, you're one of the many that are involved in the food today. What
yes,
particular item does
our our contemporary worship team is going to be providing roasted corn, and it was a big hit last year, so get there early and get some from us. It's going to be wonderful. It's only a dollar.
Only a dollar. Bring lots of dollars. Bring lots of dollars. Anybody else involved in food? I don't want to leave anybody out. Jim, what's your group got?
Snow cones.
Snow cones. It's cold outside today.
Think warm.
Okay.
There'll be nachos and sausage wraps and Frito pies and all kinds of stuff.
Amen. It's going to be a great day. You look forward to being there. See you at 3 o'clock. Let's sing another song before we go.
I've got peace like